HiBridge, a division of Recorded Books, presents The AI Mirror, How to Reclaim Our Humanity in an Age of Machine Thinking, by Shannon Valor, read by Kim Nemi. Preface. Man, the flower of all flesh, the noblest of all creatures visible, man who had once made God in his image, and had mirrored his strength on the constellations, beautiful, naked man was dying, strangled in the garments that he had woven. E. M. Forster, The Machine Stops, 1909. This book, as with all of my work, is about our humanity and our technology. It's about how each makes up the other, and how we found ourselves so alienated from both. It's about how to find the courage to repair and heal a self-inflicted wound made long ago by a philosopher's futile attempt to cleave them apart. One cannot heal what one does not know. It has always been and will always be a struggle to know what and who we are. We ask the question of what it means to be human again and again without ever hearing a definitive answer. That's because to be human is to have to answer that question yourself, and then do it again, over and over, with every choice that you make or unmake. Yet there are always more choices open in the future. Humans endlessly make ourselves anew. We are always more, always unfinished, and for this reason, always uncertain of ourselves and one another. Artificial intelligence is not the first technology to place our future in jeopardy. Nuclear weapons hold that dishonor. But AI, or rather the particular form of it that is the subject of this book, is the first technology that can place our future in jeopardy by preventing us from knowing how to make a future at all. AI is the first technology that can make us forget how to answer our own question. This book is about how to keep from losing ourselves and our futures in the AI mirror. It's about how to remember ourselves and our power and responsibility to make a world for one another. This book is deeply unfashionable in one important way. It unapologetically invokes the we, the us, the human family. Who is that exactly? Whenever a philosopher uses the term we or humanity, it's laziness at best, intellectual imperialism at worst. Politically and morally, there has never been one we. There have only been those few who had the power and audacity to speak for the rest without asking. But I embrace the term in the book and the fierce and fair criticism that will inevitably follow, because while there is no real we, there is, in the face of accelerating planetary ruin, a shared human emergency. We are strangling in the garments we have woven, as are many who had no say in their weaving. Our peril commands a shared understanding of the situation and the will to avert it. The merely rhetorical we must be forged into a real one, with at least some capacity for a human will, if we are to keep this planet habitable for more than a few more generations. To construct that shared will, we require many tools, new and old, from the humane and technical arts alike, and AI technologies belong among them. But for this to be possible, we have to wrest back from our AI mirrors the knowledge of who we are and what we can still become. Introduction. I'll be your mirror. Reflect what you are, in case you don't know. The Velvet Underground. I'll Be Your Mirror, 1967. On June 11, 2022, a Google engineer named Blake Lemoine made global headlines. He claimed that Lambda, an artificial intelligence product that he was testing for his employer, was sentient, that it was a conscious, self-aware being, not a piece of company property. The subsequent media uproar was intense but brief, thanks to the loud chorus of AI researchers who quickly refuted Lemoine's claims. Experts in the type of product that LeMoyne was testing, a large language model or LLM, confidently reassured the public that Lambda is, in fact, no more conscious than your toaster. The debate within the AI community that followed was not about whether LeMoyne was wrong, but about how wrong. Did he simply jump the gun with a system that is at best a precursor to genuinely sentient AI? Or was his error one of a deeper kind? Was he hallucinating something not even faintly on our horizon? When Google fired LeMoyne a month later for violating company policies against exposing proprietary product information, no loud protest was heard from the AI research community. LeMoyne was, by most accounts, widely respected and well-liked by his peers, but his critics weren't wrong, at least on the face of things. Lambda is a mere product, not a person. The AI research community is not a monolith. It is notoriously riven by internal disputes about what AI is, how to build it, and what it can do. So, a rare AI expert consensus that LeMoyne was mistaken was a good reason for the media to move on. Yet, had LeMoyne's claim been scientifically plausible, the implications would be staggering. What is most curious about this story is that Blake LeMoyne is no befuddled novice. He is a seasoned engineer with a far better grasp of the underlying technology than 99.9% of the people on the planet. How could he get it so wrong? To make sense of LeMoyne's error, it first helps to understand that today's most advanced AI systems are constructed as immense mirrors of human intelligence. They do not think for themselves. Instead, they generate complex reflections cast by our recorded thoughts, judgments, desires, needs, perceptions, expectations, and imaginings. AI systems mirror our own intelligence back to us. This is the source of their growing commercial and scientific power. Countless books, TED-style talks, and hyperbolic media reports have warned of the potential of these systems to transform our economic and social order, or destroy it. This book is about another power of AI mirrors, one that is harder to notice, but even more dangerous. It is their power to induce in us a type of self-forgetting, a selective amnesia that loosens our grip on our own human agency and clouds our self-knowledge. It is an illusion that can ensnare even the most technologically adept among us, as it did LeMoyne, who found himself talking to his own reflection. Later in this book, we will delve into the power of this illusion, how today's AI technology produces it, and how it can deceive even an expert like LeMoyne. But this book is not about LeMoyne's error. It's about our evolving and troubled relationship with the machines we have built as mirrors to tell us who we are when we ourselves don't know. The companies building today's most powerful AI technologies increasingly position these to represent, or even stand in for, humanity's common voice and collective judgment. We are told that AI knows us better than we know ourselves. Judges get predictive algorithms to tell them who is safe to release from prison, while employers get automated HR software to tell them who to hire or promote. AI tools will tell your government whether you deserve public benefits and your hospital whether you deserve treatment. AI can write a university professor's course lectures and their students' essays on them. We've got AI recommender systems to tell us what news articles to read and what art and entertainment to enjoy, and generative AI systems to manufacture all of it for us. An AI app can find you a romantic partner or custom build you one. Today's AI mirrors tell us what it is to be human, what we ourselves care about, what we find good or beautiful or worth our attention. It is these machines that now tell us the story of our own past and project our collective futures. They do so without living even one day of that history or knowing a single moment of the human condition. What happens to a person or an intelligent species when they stop telling their own story? What do we lose when self-knowledge and self-determination yields to the predictive power of an opaque algorithm? Lemoine's case is striking, but it is not an aberration. It is a premonition. For we all stand on the brink of losing sight of the vast space that stretches between humanity and our machines. Unless we take bold steps to transform how we as human beings relate to the tools we have built, we may all end up like Lemoine, talking to ourselves in the AI mirror. This is a book about artificial intelligence, which also means it is a book about people. This might seem like an odd thing to say. By the time you finish the book, it should seem less odd. One of the book's aims is to explain why and how artificial intelligence is inseparable from our humanity, much in the way that our image in the mirror is inseparable from the body it reflects. The other aim is to explain how AI, in its dominant commercial form, endangers our humanity. This might sound less odd to you. It's a common motif in science fiction and in contemporary media representations of AI. Whether it is claims that the rise of the robots and generative AI tools like ChatGPT will endanger the future of work for humans, or even more speculative warnings that a superior machine intelligence might enslave or exterminate us, we are by now used to hearing that AI is a potential threat to humanity. We need to understand this threat in a radically different way. AI does not threaten us as a future successor to humans. It is not an external enemy encroaching upon our territory. It threatens us from within our humanity. In the words of a well-worn horror film trope, the call is coming from inside the house. This makes a great difference to how we must respond to the threat that AI poses. For the threat is not a machine that stands apart from us. We can't fight AI without fighting ourselves. The harms to people and to society that may follow from our relationship to intelligent machines are not foreign assaults, but symptoms of an internal disorder, a fully human pathology that requires collective self-examination, critique, and most of all, healing. This book tells a story of humanity increasingly lost in its own reflected image and captive to mechanical mirrors of our own making. The story echoes that of Narcissus and Echo in Book 3 of the Metamorphoses. There, the Roman poet Ovid, 43 BCE to 17 AD, recounts the tragic fate of young Narcissus, whose beauty and pride became a fatal prison when he caught sight of his own face in a reflecting pool. Here the boy, tired by the heat and his enthusiasm for the chase, lies down, drawn to it by its look and by the fountain. While he desires to quench his thirst, a different thirst is created. While he drinks, he is seized by the vision of his reflected form. He loves a bodiless dream. He thinks that a body that is only a shadow. Narcissus lies on the ground for days, ignoring his body's growing hunger and need for sleep, vainly pleading with the beauty in the watery mirror to return his passion. How often he gave his lips in vain to the deceptive pool, how often, trying to embrace the neck he could see, he plunged his arms into the water but could not catch himself within them. What he has seen he does not understand, but what he sees he is on fire for, and the same error both seduces and deceives his eyes. AI and related computing technologies increasingly function as a mirror of our humanity. It's a profoundly useful and illuminating mirror, yet one that also creates for us, like Narcissus, a mortal danger. The chapters of this book will articulate more fully why and how AI can be understood as a mirror. For now, it is enough to say that Like Narcissus's pool, we see in AI a vision of ourselves that enthralls us, captivates us in much the way that Narcissus was captivated. Here, captivated takes its literal meaning: fixated, confined, immobilized, held captive. Like Narcissus, we increasingly neglect the most essential and vital aspects of our embodied, fragile humanity and situation in order to chase illusions of perfection in the machine mirror. Like Narcissus, many fervently chase in AI a bodiless dream, this time a dream of our cognitive perfection rather than perfection of our physical countenance. Like Narcissus, we readily misperceive in this reflection the seduction of an other, a tireless companion, a perfect future lover, an ideal friend, an unbiased judge, a foolproof collaborator. Yet in truth, a thing with which we are increasingly left alone, talking to ourselves. Even more dangerously, our AI mirror projects a vision of human intelligence constructed entirely from the amalgamated data of humanity's past. This is why our dependence on these mirrors for self-knowledge risks leaving us captive like Narcissus, unwilling to move forward and leave behind what the mirror shows. At the very moment when accelerating climate change, biodiversity collapse, and global political instability command us to invent new and wiser ways of living together, AI holds us frozen in place, fascinated by endless permutations of a reflected past that only the magic of marketing can disguise as the future. Like Narcissus, our own humanity risks being sacrificed to that reflection. Corporate titans and even political leaders have taken to warning of the existential risk posed by powerful new AI systems, by which they mean the potential for AI systems to bring about human extinction. These warnings profoundly misunderstand the risk AI poses to humanity, as we will learn. There are indeed risks that malevolent or foolish humans will use AI to bring about great harm. These harms will require robust safety engineering and regulatory action to prevent, just as we work to prevent accidents and terrorist actions enabled by nuclear power and biotechnologies. Yet the loudest political and corporate rhetoric around AI's existential risk misrepresents the danger as coming from the tools themselves, from them spontaneously waking up and turning on us with malicious or destructive intent. There is no scientific ground for this fear. As we'll discover, it is instead a mirror reflection from the haunted depths of the modern political conscience. But this does not mean that AI poses no existential risk to humanity. An existential risk to humanity need not involve extinction. Some existential risks involve human survival in an inhumane form. Climate change poses a true existential risk, even though it is implausible that greenhouse gases will heat the globe to the point that no human organisms can survive or reproduce anywhere on Earth. For it is unfortunately very plausible that unchecked climate change and associated losses of biodiversity, fresh water, and crops will reduce human survival to a brutal and inhumane struggle everywhere, and not for a short time. That is an existential risk, and we must marshal every human power, including our best AI tools, to keep it from coming to pass. But we won't succeed if our species' most vital powers and virtues, our capacities for creative thought, moral ambition, political imagination, and above all wisdom, are drowned in the AI mirror. Fortunately, saving them is entirely within our ability. The danger is a call to human action and responsibility. We are the source of the danger to ourselves from AI. And this is a good thing. It means we hold the power to resist and the power to heal. After all, Ovid's story is not about the evils of reflecting pools. What endangered Narcissus was not some shiny water. It was his own weakness of character, his vanity, narcissism, and selfish obsession that enabled his detachment from others and the fatal loss of his world. The story of Narcissus, and of Echo, who will be discussed in the next chapter, is about virtue, or rather vice. It's about what we lose when we habitually turn our eyes away from our shared future, away from its noblest possibilities and unmet responsibilities. We face a stark choice in building AI technologies. We can use them to strengthen our humane virtues, sustaining and extending our collective capabilities to live wisely and well. By this path, we can still salvage a shared future for human flourishing. Or we can continue on our current path, building and using AI in ways that disable the humane virtues by treating them as unnecessary for the efficient operation of our societies and the steering of our personal lives. As I recounted in my first book, Technology and the Virtues, for millennia, humans have cultivated, alongside our artifacts and mechanical knowledge, rich traditions of moral knowledge. Knowledge of ourselves, of how to strengthen our character, how to restore our attention to what matters, how to seek not just information but wisdom, and how to nourish the relational bonds that sustain us in solidarity with others. We need to cherish, renew, and deepen this moral learning, because AI serves as a powerful temptation to forget it, and to accept in its place a pale and static reflection of what we once knew about ourselves. Narcissus never freed himself from the pool and returned to his world. We still can. This book may at times present a dark picture, but it is ultimately an expression of optimism about the future of humanity. There is nothing about the shape of our current trajectory with AI that cannot be changed. Unlike earthquakes, asteroids, supervolcanoes, and other force majeure threats to human welfare, nothing about the threat that AI now poses to our humanity is inevitable or forced upon us by nature. It is an entirely self-inflicted wound. This also means that rescuing ourselves from the threat posed by AI need not mean eliminating AI. In fact, artificial intelligence names a wide and diverse range of technologies, many of which are immensely beneficial and even essential tools for the highest moral task we face today: reconstructing the built world for sustainable human and planetary flourishing. This goal demands many new scientific and technological capabilities, new modes of energy production, manufacturing, transportation, architecture, agriculture, and waste management, new materials, foods, and compounds adapted to the demands of a climate-stressed planet, and new processes for enabling a circular economy that feeds social resilience rather than malignant, nakedly irrational growth. AI can help us reach many of these goals faster, a critical need as the pace of climate destabilization continues to outstrip the modest predictions of scientists. Some of these goals will be impossible to reach without advances in AI and related computing technologies, which must be wisely weighed against their own considerable environmental costs. But AI is no panacea or cheap technical fix for our social and environmental ills. AI won't enable a sustainable future without reformed political institutions and economic incentives. What's more, the kinds of AI technologies we're developing today are undermining and delaying these reforms rather than supporting them, precisely because they mirror the misplaced patterns of judgment and value that led us into our current peril. To change that will require something more radical than the solutions sought by a growing number of computer scientists interested in fields like AI safety, who are looking for ways to program AI to be more reliably beneficial and aligned with human values. The reason this kind of strategy won't work, at least not in our present environment, is because human values are at the very root of the problem. AI isn't developing in harmful ways today because it's misaligned with our current values. It's already expressing those values all too well. AI tools reflect the values of the wealthy post-industrial societies that build them. These are the very values that have brought us to our current heights of scientific ingenuity, but also to the sixth mass extinction and the brink of planetary devastation. AI is a mirror of ourselves, not as we ought to be or could be, but as we already are and have long been. This is why we can't let today's AI tools decide who we will become, why we can't let them project our futures for us. Yet, increasingly, that's exactly what we are building them to do. AI mirrors are being used to tell us what we will learn, in which career we can succeed, which roads we will travel, who we can love, who we will exclude or abuse, who we will detain or set free, who we will heal or house, what we will buy, and the investments we'll make. They tell us what we will read, what words we'll type next, which music we'll hear, what images we'll paint, the experiences we'll seek, the risks we will accept, the strategies we'll adopt, the policies we will support, and the visions of our future that we will embrace. Through automation, these algorithmic predictions, which increasingly cover every domain of human experience, quickly become self-fulfilling prophecies. They replicate patterns extracted from data about past human habits, preferences, and decisions. But this places all of us, future generations included, in grave peril at a critically vulnerable moment. We face planetary and civilizational crises that humanity has never encountered or navigated before. Would you chart your path up a dangerous and unfamiliar mountain while looking in a mirror that is pointing behind you? What AI mirrors do is to extract, amplify, and push forward the dominant powers and most frequently recorded patterns of our documented, datafied past. In doing so, they turn our vision away from the newer, rarer, wiser, more mature and humane possibilities that we must embrace for the future. Instead of asking one another what we might now become, we ask AI mirrors to show us who we already are and have been, and to predict from there what must come next. We are frozen in place like Narcissus, captive to a reflection of our most immature forms of brilliance. As the chapters that follow will reveal, this loss of freedom to envision more humane yet unmade possibilities has roots that long predate digital computers. But those roots are now becoming mature, and they are strangling us. We are caught in the grip of a gradual and accelerating mechanization of the human personality, the systematic replacement of reflective discernment with mindless prediction, the efficient sacrifice of shared flourishing to expected utility, the exchange of human creativity and open-ended progress for local optimization of content delivery. In short, the surrender of humane wisdom to machine thinking. None of these patterns are new, but today's AI mirrors will accelerate and solidify them if we do not change course. Changing how we build AI will be part of that, but it won't be enough. What we are rapidly making of AI today is what we had long ago made of ourselves. This means that we cannot gain lasting protection from the harmful potential of AI merely by changing lines of code. To believe that there is a neat computing solution to our present peril makes as much sense as trying to clean dirt off one's face by furiously scrubbing the mirror. We need a deeper and more lasting cultural transformation of our relationship to AI and to technology more broadly as our own creative power. In the face of accelerating climate crisis and other existential risks, the future desperately needs us to understand, more fully than ever, who human beings.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?